So do you love the sin and hate the sinner, but can you still love the sinner's work?
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for January 22nd, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me. Hi, everybody. I am Scott Stantis. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
And this week, actually, we're not going to be talking much about the strip, only because, it was a throwback. It was a rerun. I get actually vacation time, so yes. We run repeats, and this was a series that had run, golly, I think back in...
maybe 2006, I think?
Yeah, it's old.
Quite a while ago.
But the one thing I did want to talk to you about, and the one issue that I think is really important, we did an homage to Pat DiNizio this past Sunday. Pat, of course, was the lead singer and lead songwriter for the great group The Smithereens, Blood and Roses, A Girl Like You, bunches of other songs. Pat has been a friend of the Prickly City since the very beginning. In fact, he performed at the launch party for the strip way back in 2004. So,
but that wasn't like, oh, I love your strip, let me perform.
We don't have to say that.
I'm just...
you really don't.
Okay. I was just saying that because people are talking about you like Pat DiNizio because you like his politics, and you didn't even know his politics.
Oh, I didn't know his politics. To be honest, I didn't know Pat. We stumbled onto Pat because we watched Bands Reunited on VH1, and then we started talking about bands we'd like to see reunited. We went online. It turns out the Smithereens had never actually broken up. They were still together, but we stumbled onto Pat's website, and he was doing these things, living room concerts, and we thought, well, what's that? We looked into it. And he comes and exactly what it sounds like. He comes and performs in your living room. And it was fantastic. He was available. He came and performed. We had about 250 people over to the house. And it was really a magic night. And he was such a great guy. We got to be friends immediately. Guy got to the point where I actually drew the cover of his book and would celebrate his birthday every year in the strip. So this Sunday, I did a final, like I said, homage to Pat. However, as in all things and every way, it got political, and someone wrote and said, what, Janine?
Well, Railwayman 001 said, it's too bad, though, that he was also a member of the Reform Party, which also counted Herr Drumpf himself and Jesse Ventura, the tinfoil wearer, as members and continues to support the very far right. Oh, what the heck, alt-right. Populism that Drumpf wants to force down our throats, from protectionism to anti-globalism. Don't believe me? It's there on Wikipedia. Look it up.
Well, I thank you, and I mean, I didn't. You can actually be friends with people who don't agree with you. By the way, didn't he say that he, like, Pat was no saint? I thought he.
He also said what I am just trying to say here is that he was no angel. Like all the rest of us, he was human, a human being capable of making bad decisions as well as good ones.
Yeah,
but the thing was that we did look that up, and he did run. That was almost. It was over 20 years ago, or close to 20 years ago, and he ran on the Reform Party ticket, but also Ralph Nader ran on the Reform Party ticket.
As did Pat Buchanan.
Right.
So, you know.
And they asked him, he had this very good quote. When he was 44, they asked him, he said, do I think I can win? Yes. But if I can even get more people to vote or even register, then I've done a good thing.
Right. I mean, the Reform Party was, you know, set up, and people ran on it because they probably couldn't get the nomination for the Republican or Democratic parties. And that's what happened to a lot of these candidates. I Pat's politics, I don't know that we actually talked politics the entire time I knew him, which is interesting. Did get a very nice, and I'm going to get a little sentimental here if I may, got a very nice note in response to the cartoon this Sunday from a friend of Pat's who apparently was with him till the end. And he said that Pat really looked, I did not know this, but Pat really looked forward to the mention of his birthday every year in the comic strip. And when I'm me and I'm old now, so I have two excuses, forgot, Pat would ask his friend every day to look it up and see if it was mentioned that day. And about a week later, of course, I wrote that, you know, the character, because I can blame it on my characters, they forgot. And he was just thrilled to death, because I always referred to him as one of the greatest of Americans. And he apparently was thrilled to death by that as well, and was not in great health near the end. So it made his day, and that makes me happy that I made him a little happier. So what the comments are, who wrote the comment?
That was still Railway Man. And then Electric Shadow said, politics aside, I will still miss this guy. Hope he's well behind that wall of eternal sleep.
Oh, Yeah, he was, I mean, his music was fun. And everyone I talked to, what was amazing to me is just hearing from all these other people and people who were close to him I did not know, and how every person they talked to who Pat had touched all called him my friend. He said, I've never experienced anything like this. I think one of the guys who had contacted me was a publicist. And said, I've never experienced anything like this, that every person who reached out said, this was my friend Pat DiNizio. I mean, that's just the kind of guy he was. But I want to go back to the first comment. Could you read the last part of it again, please?
About what he's trying to say, that he was no angel?
Yeah.
Like the rest of us, he was a human being capable of bad decisions as well as good ones?
Yeah. And I think that that begged, I mean, it's a question I've really been trying to think about. Well, I'm not trying to think about it. It's a question I am thinking about lately because it begs a really important question. You know, as the Me Too movement goes forward, and I think it's, I mean, this is vital and it's important and it's essential and it's well past time that it happened. But you have to ask your question. People who are reprehensible or do reprehensible things, yet they create things that we really like. Or if the person is reprehensible or a reprobate, but you agree with their politics, do you still vote for them? And I've been going round and round on this in my mind. I mean, we were in Florence recently. We got to see the art of Michelangelo, who was, you know, created things so sumptuous, I mean, so sumptuous, so beautiful, so astounding that it's almost transformative. And he was not a great guy. In fact, he was kind of a surly guy. Very opinionated, didn't like the other artists around him, so would say so. That's not nearly as bad as, say, a Roman Polanski, who is a convicted rapist. But is Chinatown still a great film? It is. Should you watch it or should you not watch it? Because Roman Polanski is a convicted child rapist, which is, you know, bad by any measure. I don't know what the answer to this is. I love Chinatown was on about a year ago. I watched it again. Still a great film. Some authors who were just awful people and did awful things, you know, but the writing is still remarkable. Politicians, you know, the president now had, you know, an affair with a porn star right after his third wife gave birth to his fifth child. How evangelicals, you know, live with this, I don't know. Apparently he asked for forgiveness.
Although I don't know, but that's the discussion you're saying, if they agree with his politics and think that, well, he's terrible, but his policies are going to make things better.
Right.
Which is what I remember hearing on the radio after Al Franken, was that, well, the difference between Al Franken and some other people is he was at least making good policy.
Yeah. That's the question. If someone is a reprobate, but their policies are still good, do you vote for them? I think you can be forgiving to a point. You know, we're all human beings. We've all done remarkably stupid stuff in our lives that we regret, and if it became public, would be embarrassed by. I think the difference is, do you regret it? Do you show real contrition? And then you move forward. And I think that's where forgiveness comes from. Forgiveness doesn't mean you don't get punished for what you've done. Forgiveness merely means I forgive you for doing it. It doesn't mean that if drove your car drunkenly into the front of my house, that you're no longer responsible for paying for my house to be repaired. But it does mean that I can forgive you if you made a mistake, if it was, you know, you just lost a parent and you just drank too much that night. You know, there's always room for forgiveness. And I think that's an important element that we don't have in our politics today, myself included, frankly. I tend not to forgive sins of meanness.
Well, it depends if someone's actually really contrite about it or just saying it.
Right. And if you actually express yourself in a, for me, it's a Christian way. And by that, I mean the old school Catholic Christian, which is charity, humility, forgiveness, those types of qualities that we don't have, well, any of in politics nowadays. So it comes back to that question. Do you support the person who pushes your policies, but they are personally reprehensible? Would you?
No, I think that you can find someone who's not reprehensible who still supports your policies.
Well, let me ask you this. In this day and age of smartphone, video phone, God, sound older, Scott. research, I mean, you is there's no one who isn't. That there's no one who's pure. That, because it's not possible. We're human beings. There's one person who was perfect, and he died over 2,000 years ago.
Plus, when you're talking about pure, but you're talking about someone who tries hard and generally is not a total hypocrite,
right,
is what you're trying to go for, right?
Right. Hypocrisy above everything else is the one that makes me crazy. And so I mentioned the evangelicals about Donald Trump and his tete-a-tete with the porn star. But they're okay with that.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
They're
at
down
all.
With that's that. They're down with that, just as long as he still supports.
But if someone else had done it, whose policies they didn't support, they'd be all over them.
Well, I would say Bill Clinton would be
right
among them,
and that seems wrong.
Yes, of course it does. I mean, and so, but we're always very selective about what we're willing to forgive and whom we're willing to forgive. Coming back to, because that person believes A, B, or C, and for me. I don't like Donald Trump. I never have. Probably never will. I find him to be just a petulant child. And I find him to be a bad example for kids. He's a bad example for how to live your life. And I know people are going to jump all over me. Well, he made $1 billion. Well, that's not the litmus test, people.
Right.
that's not...
A lot of bad people who've made $1 billion.
Yes, believe me when I tell you this. I'm in the newspaper business, believe me, in media generally. But we're going to move forward because I want to keep my job. my point is, ask yourself this question. I would love for you to go to gocomics.com and leave a comment, or you can email us directly at pricklycity@gmail.com. And I want to have this conversation because obviously I'm not confused by it. I think that you can look at people's work and judge it that way. I use art
and
because...
There's a big difference between someone whose politics you just don't like. They're a regular person. They're not doing horrible things, but you may not like some of their politics, then, as opposed to someone who's actually done bad things.
Well, can you respect someone? Can you respect, let's say, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote magnificent things about the freedoms of humans and at the same time owned them?
Yeah, didn't follow any of that.
And if you were a white money landowner,
didn't want to ruin your lifestyle.
You were in the high cotton, as it were. But can you respect those words? Can you respect him? And at turns, knowing this about him?
I think with distance, maybe that makes it a little easier. Say that you don't like this, but you like that. Maybe you could do that with anybody. You could say, these are the aspects about them that I like, and these are what they say that I like, but this is a terrible thing, and maybe you still won't vote for them.
Well, I'll never vote for Thomas Jefferson.
No?
You can count on that. Count on that one. So let's start the discussion. Do me a favor. When you listen to this podcast, go to gocomics.com/pricklycity and leave a comment, and I'm going to pay attention for the next few weeks and just have this conversation, because I don't know. Maybe there is no answer. Maybe there's no clear-cut answer. Maybe
I don't think there is a clear-cut answer.
Well, but then we'll find out. I suspect that our readers and our listeners will let us know.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Hey, thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. As I was mentioning, 300 or 500 or 700 times already, go to gocomics.com/pricklycity. Do me and yourself a big fat favor and register, and then you can click likes and leave comments and do all that fun stuff. It's free, and you can't beat free. You just can't. Janine, thank you for this week.
You're welcome.
And every week, the last 36 years.
Aw.
Aw. And thank you, WGN and WGN Plus. Thank you, Brian Altimer, our producer and man about town. And like I said, leave a comment or email us directly at pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that just about covers it. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.